believing God, and said he went to work the next week and got a, now listen to this, $2,000 raise. $2,000 raise. Amen? You said, oh, that just happened. Well, it just happened to me. Let it happen. Just happened to me then. You know, did it? It's all right. It just happened. I believe it. I believe God makes things happen. You know, sometimes we, I don't know, we don't think about it or whatever, or really don't. Sometimes I'll just go along and say, there really is a God.
Amen.
There really is a God.
Amen.
Jesus is really alive. He is my Lord.
Yes.
And his word is true.
Yes.
And it does work for me.
Amen.
Nothing just happens. Not for me anyway. God makes things happen.
Yes.
Listen, when I was living for the devil, nothing just happened.
No.
Things happened, but it was not the good stuff. It just, everything went wrong.
Yep.
All the time. And what I really came to realize, not long after I'd been born again, it just dawned on me, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. You know, before I was born again, I didn't have any help. I had no help. If things got bad, I didn't have any help. If financially, I didn't have any help. Physically, I didn't have any help. If I got sick or somebody got sick, what are you going to do? There's just so much the doctors can do. I didn't have any help. I didn't have anybody to turn to. I didn't have anybody to talk to. I didn't have anybody to take my troubles to. I didn't have anybody to talk it over with. I didn't have anybody that had greater power or the power to solve my problems. And I realized now then I have help. I have help. No matter what happens, I have help. I can go to the Lord about everything. He helps me. He's a present help in time of trouble. He's a friend. I can talk to him as a friend. He's a father. I can go to him as my father. He's my Lord. I can submit myself to him as Lord. I can trust him. He'll take care of me. No matter what happens, he's still Lord. Amen. The devil used to tell me, my dad, you know, he come up through tribulation, but depression, they thought it's tribulation. And they grew up tough. And all those people who came through that, they didn't throw anything away. My dad would save a string that long.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He'd save a string, a piece of leather, a stick, a little bat, anything. He threw nothing away. I said, Dad, won't you throw this junk away? Oh, don't throw that away, son. My God, what's wrong with you? We may need that. And back then, that's true. And they didn't have any way of getting anything. And I grew up in that, and so it kind of rubbed on my generation a little bit, but the generation after me, they don't pick up nothing. They leave their, I've watched them when the, you know, generation with kids, they just leave their ball gloves laying out in the rain, or leave their stuff laying there, or throw their coat down, walk off and leave it, and just say, what are you doing? You aren't going to get another one, pick that up. But they do. They get another one and another one and another one.
Yeah.
And me, you know, coming out of the generation my dad was in, honey, you didn't get another one. You didn't take care of that. That's it. If you got a ball glove, you was very fortunate. You better get it. And I've seen guys that generation after me would leave their rifles or something just sitting outside. I said, what in the world are you doing? Look, and you didn't do that. You took care of your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But they grew up in that area, and so they had a poverty mentality. And so when I came in to church here, I know we bought this church. it was like $500,000, and I didn't have any. I didn't even have a house. Didn't even have a place to live. Live in a little trailer, didn't have any money. And Sam, he signed a note with me with his house as collateral. Now, that's a good brother-in-law.
There you go. Absolutely.
And another fellow did, signed with me some things. And Dad heard about that. He said, "Oh, my God. Son, you're going to lose everything you've got. What is wrong with you people? You're going to cause that boy," talking about Sam, "to lose his house." I said, "Dad, I don't have nothing. Well, you're going to cause Sam to lose his house, and you're going to lose everything." "No, Dad, we're not going to lose anything." He didn't understand faith, trust in God. He just, you know, understood the natural. Then the devil come along after that. See, you feed anybody with those words long enough growing up, you have to overcome that. See, my greatest things I've had to overcome is my brain, things that's fed into me. And so I'd be going and things get a little tough and finances get tough and looks like me. Satan said, "You're going to lose everything you've got. You're going back to nothing. You're just now starting to get ahead a little bit, just starting to have a little money and just starting to get out of poverty. You're going to lose it all. You're going back to nothing." See, he'll come at you with that. Some of you might not ever had to fight those devils like that. I did. I'd say, "Ah, devil." Then, you know, I'd hit him back. I'd hit him real hard, just right between the eyes. I'd come to church and I'd say, "How much money we got? We got $1,500. Well, let's give it all away." Let's say we got $5,000. Well, let's give it all away. Wow. I say, "Devil, I started with nothing. And it's not going to bother me to go back to nothing. Because when I had nothing, he brought me out of nothing into something. And if I go back to nothing, he'll bring me out of nothing again back into something. I know the God I started with. And the God I started with is still my God, and he's not going to leave me now. So get out of here with that fear of losing it all or going broke or not having anything." Amen?
Amen.
You know, the Lord spoke to me some time back and said this to me. He said, "My preachers are afraid of money." And I said, "What do you mean, Lord, they're afraid of money?" He said, "They're afraid if they get rid of what they got, they won't get any more." Well, we're all like that. I'm not, but a lot of people are like that. They're afraid if they give all they've got away, they won't get any more. And fear will dominate your life if you let it. That's a subtle fear. We're afraid to give, afraid we won't get any more. "Well, you don't know what I've had to do. I've worked all my life for this and saved this up, and I've got a little nest egg and all this savings." And so that really rules our life. And so it's a fear that dominates. Well, I'm not telling you to give your stuff away unless you got faith. You better not. Unless you trust God. But, oh, I'd rather trust God. I'd rather have faith. I'd rather know what I know is to have what you've got. Well, you'll get that tomorrow. Look with me in 1 Peter. Hallelujah. God is on the throne. Blessed be the Lord forever. You remember what I preached last week? No. Todd does, the only one. Todd is my favorite, see. Penny laughed because he is my faith. Quit laughing at my faith. Because he remembers what I preached. Remember I preached about the devil thought your house was his house? How dare that rascal think that my house is his house? He said when the devil has gone out of your life, when that control has gone out of your life, when drug addiction has gone out of your life, when sin's gone out of your life, when lying, cheating, fear, all these things has gone out of your life, it leaves. Because when Jesus comes in, the devil goes out.
Amen.
Amen. When Jesus comes in, adultery goes out. Fornication goes out. When Jesus comes in, drinking goes out. Some Christians not found that yet. When Jesus comes in, drug addiction goes out. Sin goes out. But it leaves, and the Bible said it walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. You know, drug addiction, all these things is demons. And seeking rest and finding none. He said, I will return to my house. He will return to my house. And he founds that house clean. Well, how did it get clean? You got cleaned up. I'm clean. I've heard people say, I've been clean. And says, but he finds that house empty. Finds it empty. And says, then he returns, goes back and gets seven other spirits, and enters back into that house he came out of. And the last state of the man's worse than the first. I've seen this happen too many times in people's lives who got to be Christians. And they didn't stay full of the Word. They didn't continue to go to church. They didn't read their Bible. They didn't listen to preaching CDs or teaching tapes or books. Or get filled with the Holy Ghost, stay filled with the Holy Ghost. They didn't stay full. And by not staying full, the very same thing they were delivered from comes back on them, but it's not the same. Listen, if you ever get born again and go back into the world, it is not the same. It will never be the same. It can't be the same. It'll never be the same. You're in for a world of hurt. If you think you're going to play games with God, it don't work.
No.
Satan will eat your lunch.
Yes,
you go out, then you just start getting weaker and weaker and emptier. And the next thing you know, it's seven times worse. Seven times worse. And you said, yeah, well, I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. You have to stay full. We tell people, go to church, listen, read your Bible. I tell people that for a reason. For a reason. Because Satan is checking you all the time to see if there is an entryway into your life. And he comes through all kinds of things. He comes through disease, sickness, poverty, lack, depression, discouragement, oppression, all kinds of things. He'll torment you. The Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. We have an enemy. You have an adversary. There is a devil. And he won't play games with you. And you better not play games with him. It'll never be the same. It will never be the same. I read to you last week out of Peter. It said once they were saved and they went back, he said it was better for them not to have known. It would have been better for them not to have ever been saved, because as a pig goes back to the wallow and a dog goes back to the vomit, Christians do that. That's what Peter was saying. Don't go back to the mud hole you came out of. What's so enticing about the mud hole that you came out of? There's a reason you came out of it. Well, the Lord came and got you. And he dealt with you and put conviction on you. And you got born again. But the devil, he has power over your flesh. The ways of sin is pleasure. Pleasure. I'll tell you, it's pleasure. I remember And I've said this before, and I got born again. I used to drink a lot, and, you know, I was a bootlegger and sold drugs and things, and nothing like they do today. When I got saved, there wasn't any cocaine. It hadn't come on the market yet. It hadn't reached Yancey County. It hadn't got there yet. Thank God. there wasn't any heroin. There was heroin around, and there's a lot of marijuana and hashish and things like that. And we had pills, you know. We had uppers, you know, and things like that, speed. And one time I had a gallon jar full of pills. Had a gallon jar full. That's a lot of pills. You can go to California and back two or three times. Speed. And one time a police come to my house, and I had a gallon jar of white liquor sitting beside the door. Is in a milk jug, looked like water, thank God, and a gallon jar of pills sitting there. And why he didn't see the pills, I don't know, or the liquor. Knocked on the door, he's wanting something else. I forget now, he's looking for somebody. Thank God he wasn't looking for me. And I thought, oh, Lord, I'm dead now. But they left, and I still, you know, God blinded them, you know. God gave you grace for a while. Grace runs out. You better take advantage of it, and it runs out and get saved. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord not always strive with man. But when you get born again, and I got born again, I used to love to drink beer. I loved beer. I didn't like to get drunk. But you work all day and hot and thirsty. Well, I tell you, in the afternoon, there's nothing better than a cold beer. I mean, it'd quench your thirst, you know. And I'd get off work in construction out here on the highway. I'd run a little old D9 dozer 12 hours a day. And hot, eating dust, and I was saved then. And we'd go into a store there and get something to drink or whatever in the cooler. And they had that Miller High Life, you know, and had it in a clear bottle. And it was frost, you know, cold and all that. And it's just like, you just... Devil said, that looks good. I said, whew, does that ever look good? Get one. One won't hurt. Who's going to know one beer won't hurt? I said, no, you're not getting a beer. Shut up. You can't have a beer. You can have a Mountain Dew, and that's it. You're not getting a beer. Because one beer leads to two beers, to three beers. And the next thing you know, you're back in the same mud hole you came out of. I'd watch my friends. And some of my friends were betting how long I'd stay saved. They were betting. Because a lot of them got saved that I knew that wasn't half as bad as I was. And they didn't stay saved very long. And they were betting how long I'd stay saved. And because they knew just wouldn't be long, I'd be back doing the same thing, because that's the way it happened, just as regular as clockwork. They'd have like a revival in some of those little Baptist churches over there, and the conviction would get on some people. They'd be praying for them, and they'd get born again. And it wouldn't be long at all till they was back drinking. And it would start with one beer. Going back, next thing you know, the devil had them, is back. I seen it. And I said, no way. I am not doing it. But the reason I could say that, I was devouring the Word. I had a tape playing all the time, or I was in the Bible every evening when I come home from work or reading a book or something. I stayed in the Word. That Word gave me power to resist the temptations that Satan threw at me. And I was working with a couple of other fellas, you know, another time we was doing drywall, hanging sheetrock. They were never so glad anybody quit in their life. It was when I quit. Because we would drink, you know, beer and all during the day and work, you know. And so they still did. But, man, they had a hard time trying to drink a beer around me. You know? I never did say anything to them. Never condemned them or anything, but they just lied. you know, repels darkness. And they had a hard time. They were so glad when I quit so they could feel free. And one of them I talk to all the time. You need to come on church with me now. You need to get born again. Young guy's in his 30s. Come on now. And let me pray with you. Come on, give your heart to Jesus. Man, I kept at him all the time. He kept saying no. He said, I know I need to. And in his 30s, maybe 34, something like that, one night, died with a heart attack. He's in hell now. He's in hell. Because he said no. If he'd listened to me, he'd be in heaven. But he didn't listen. You never know. Amen? But I made it because I stayed in the Word. That's how you'll make it. Look with me in Peter here. It says in chapter 5. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to the elders or the pastor. Submit yourself to the pastor. That means listen to him. Listen to what he's telling you. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Or that word grace, one word's favor. He'll give favor to the humble. Thank God, I want favor, don't you?
Yes.
Therefore, if you've got any sense, yeah. No, that isn't what that says. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in his season, not your season.
Right.
Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. That word cast means to throw. Throw them all over on Jesus.
Yes.
Throw them. You've got cares. As long as you're carrying them, he can't. As long as you're carrying them, he can't help you. You have to get rid of them. How do you do that? You do it by faith. One time I was really going through some things, fighting a battle and trying to believe God. And, you know, and I read Kenneth Hagin's little book about cast your care over on the Lord. Well, I found out by reading that book, if I'm carrying my worries and troubles, he can't help. He can't do anything about it. So what I did, I prayed and I said, now, Lord, I'm giving you this problem. I'm giving you this situation. By faith, I'm rolling it over on you. I'm casting it over on you. You take it, and I'm not going to. Now, I expect you to help me with this problem. Well, it wouldn't be long that I'd pick it back up and I'd start worrying, carrying it again. And I'd go pray again. Now, Lord, I cast this over on you. And the Holy Spirit gave me a little analogy to do. So I took my care, the trouble I was, the thing I was believing for, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper. This is my trouble. This is my care. And I wrote it down, and I said, I'm casting this over on the Lord, according to 1 Peter 5. I'm casting this over on the Lord. And I folded it up and put it in a little old jar, put the lid on it. And I set it on a little old mantle in a house we had. And I'd start praying, and the devil would say, well, what are you going to do about this? Bring it back to me. And I said, now listen, that thing is in that jar. That's God's problem. It's not my problem, and I'm not going over there and take the lid off and get it back. I'm going to leave it over on God. Now, I refuse to think about it. Now, I refuse to worry about it. And I'm not going to worry about it anymore. And every time the devil would say that, I'd say, it's in that jar. As an act of faith, see. As an act of my faith, something that would help me to keep from getting in doubt again about it. Amen?
Amen.
And I'd roll it over on God. And it wasn't for long. I had the answer. Praise the Lord. Now notice he said, you cast that care over on the Lord. For a reason. Be sober. Be sober. That word sober means self-control. Be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. Now, it tells me that he can't just devour you. He can't just destroy you. Satan can't just kill you. If he could, he would. He'd kill you before you got to church. See, you have to give him place. James says this, give no place to the devil. Give him no place. What kind of place? Well, he wants you to do something. He wants you to open up to him. He wants you to get in doubt. See, the best thing in the world, best way in the world to give the devil place when you get born again is keep hanging around the people that he delivered you from. If you keep hanging around the same crowd, it's just a matter of time. You're back doing the same identical thing you did before he saved you. And seven times worse. You're doing good, feeling good, and your life is going good. Then you started running around, doing things, drinking on. Next thing you know, you're in all kind of trouble. And you say, why did this happen to me? Well, I can tell you. I kept looking for you in church. Where were you at? Baby Christians need to be in church. They need to be under the anointing. It's the anointing that delivers them. It's the anointing that keeps them. You have to stay in church. We've gotten so far away from God, we think we can make it. Well, I'm saved. Devil eats you alive. You've given him place. He goes about all the time seeking if he has a place in you. There's a scripture in the Bible says he can take some people at his will. Anytime he wants you, he can get you. Well, you've given him place. You give the devil place. You find out in church and in the Bible how to stay strong. And how to stand strong. Yes. And how to live strong. Yes. How to get your prayers answered. Amen? Yes. You resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the word. It says here you can resist him and he'll flee from you. Yes. Well, how do you resist the devil? You resist him with the Bible. Yep. You resist him with the word. When he comes against you, you'll say, oh, no, devil. Just like I resisted him when he tried to get me to get that good old cold beer there. I said, man, don't that look good? I said, I resist that. I resist it. Man. I'm not going to do it. Man. I will not do that. See, if I had, he'd have got me. Amen? Yeah. You have to say no to the devil. That's the only thing he understands is no. And so we think we're strong enough. And, you know, first, I don't understand some people. I don't think some people have ever been saved. Because some people get saved, whatever, and they never act like they're saved. I never see any fruit from them. That's dangerous. We think we're going to live forever. No, you're not going to live forever. And you think, well, I'm going to live till I get old. Who said? Who said you was going to live till you got old? Who said you was going to live till you got 80? The Bible does. But you have to live according to the Bible to get that old. If you don't live according to the Bible, you don't have a promise. There is no promise. Amen. Glory to God. God answers our prayer. He will answer your prayer. And I was thinking, you know, Lord, and he was dealing with me about praying and people praying and getting their prayers answered. And he said this to me, which I know and you know, the number one reason our prayers doesn't get answered is because of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness in our life is the number one reason your prayer doesn't get answered. Walking in love. We have to walk in love. The best way in the world to resist the devil is to walk in love. Now, how was me not drinking that beer walking in love? I love God's word more than I loved that beer. I love pleasing God more than I wanted that beer. I love being faithful to God and what he called me to do more than I did that beer. I love the house of God more than I did the bar. I love the house of God, the people of God, more than I did my old friends. I love the songs of God more than I did the songs of the world. See, you have to choose what you love. You have to pick it yourself. You know, your affection is your affection. You can set it on anything. It's your choice. And if you'll set your affection on the things of God, then you'll make it. That's submitting yourself to God. You have to choose that. I told the pastors down there where I spoke, I said, listen, you have to choose what kind of church you want. You have to choose that. You can choose to have a nursery, and a lot of people have come to a nursery. If you want a big church, then you have to choose that I want a nursery, and I want a very carnal church, a very elementary church, where I don't say anything to anybody to make disciples or to grow them up or reprove, rebuke, or anything like that, and you'll have a pretty good-sized church. Or you can choose to have an armory, a war machine, a house of the remnant, a house that knows how to pray, that knows how to touch heaven, that knows how to get their prayers answered, who can move hell. But if you do that, then you're going to have some strong preaching, strong praying, and you're going to make a lot of people uneasy. You won't attract the carnal Christians. So you have to pick what kind of church you want. You have to choose what walk with God you want. How much of God do I want? Amen? You can have all of God you want. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, the devil, he gets upset when you choose God. When you pick God above everything else, and he says, why don't you do this? I say, I'm not doing that. Well, come on, hang out with us tonight. You know, it won't hurt to hang out with us a little. Come on, go with us down to the bar and get a beer. Or go with us. Come on, go with us, my friend. Come on, you know. You know, we love each other. What's wrong with going to be with each other? We love each other. That's this week. Who are you going to love next week? You can't go by your feelings. That's dumb. Abel, your feelings is what got you in that mess. Well, come on. You can do that. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, you have to pick who you love. The Bible says if you love God, you keep his commandments. You love Jesus more than anything. Amen? You won't do things because you love Jesus. I'm not going to lie because I love Jesus. I'm not going to cheat you. I have an opportunity to cheat you and make a lot of money here, but I'm not going to do it because I love Jesus. I love him more. I want to please him more. I'm going to church Sunday. Wow, let's go to the lake. We're having a good time. I'm not going to the old lake. It's Sunday. Wow, are you religious? Yeah, religious, what are you going to call it? Righteous. Amen. Well, you don't have to go to church. Yes, I do. Why? The Lord told me to, and I love Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The Bible says love never fails. Love defeats the devil. Love whips the devil. I'll forgive you. You can't wound me. I forgive you. Why? Because I love Jesus. Yes. He told me to. I love him. Amen? Amen. The devil said, what are we going to do with those people? Nothing. You can't do nothing with us, devil. Because we love. We love God. We love the word. I submit myself to God. I submit myself to you. Why? Because I love Jesus. Look with me in 1 Corinthians. Are you out there?
Yes.
1 Corinthians. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your house got to be full. The devil comes back, it has to be full. Full of what? Full of the love of God.
Yes.
Full of the commandments of God.
Yes.
Commandment is to love and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. It has to be full. And if the devil can find one spot that he can get in, he'll get in. And he'll take you at his will. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus tells us, just stay full, full of love. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Is that where you was at? Well, though I speak with tongues, who wrote this? You know who wrote this? Paul, didn't he? Wasn't a trick question. He's afraid to answer it. Though I speak with tongues, as a pastor come here one morning, or a preacher, I think he thought he was going somewhere else, or I can't remember now, he come with somebody. I don't think he knew exactly what kind of church we was until he got to looking around and went in the bookstore. Then that's what he said. Uh-oh. Then I was standing at the bar there and we was talking. He said, I think we all ought to be able to worship together. I said, yes, sir. That's exactly right. I don't have any problem worshiping with anybody. Right? He said, I think we ought to be able to fellowship. Yes, sir. I don't have any problem fellowshipping with anybody. And finally, he got over what he was talking about, tongues, I don't know about them tongues. I said, well, what kind of Bible do you got? King James only. It's one Paul preached out of. King James only. I said, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I said, did you know every writer in the New Testament spoke in tongues? I said, do you know all your doctrine comes from a tongue talker? Every sermon you preach out of this book, a tongue talker wrote it. Wow, I don't know about them tongues. Well, I had him, didn't I? But then they come with this. Yeah, I know Paul did, but it's been done away with. Well, show me that one scripture. It's not in the Bible, so they can't. But Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men, watch this, and of angels. Angels have a tongue. Absolutely. And it's a different language or a different tongue than men here. So you could call it an unknown tongue. It's unknown to the speaker. It's tongue of angels. All kind of tongues. Tongue of men, tongue of man. But he said, if I speak in tongues, but I have not love, I've just become a noise. Sounding brass in a clanging cymbal. What a racket. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries, that's pretty smart, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith, he's got all mysteries, all secrets, all knowledge, and he has all faith. Now that's being full. So that I could remove mountains. Now notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say I have removed the mountain. It said I could remove the mountain. But the reason he He could, and he's not. It's not working. He says, I have all knowledge and all mystery and all faith, but it don't work. It's not working. I don't understand it. I don't understand all this knowledge I've got. Nobody wants to listen to it. All these mysteries I have and revelation I have, nobody wants to hear them. I've noticed all this faith I've got in speaking to the mountain, but the mountain's not moving. Why? There's a scripture over in Galatians chapter 6, verse 5 says, faith worketh. Faith works by love. It works by love. And if love's not there, it won't work. It won't work. If you're going to try to resist the devil with faith alone, it won't work. Faith works with love. Mysteries and teaching and knowledge works through love. It won't be received, it won't go over, and it won't work without the love of God. Amen. So that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it absolutely profits me nothing. I've given everything I had away. I've given in the offerings, Pastor Ronnie. I've gave in the honor offering. I gave in all these offerings, and it's none of it's worked for me. And so I'm tired of you preachers getting up, manipulating everything, trying to get more money because it's not worked for me. Well, that's not my fault. You're telling me the word don't work. Yes, the word works. You said, but it's not working for me. You located yourself. You just located yourself. I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I don't get any prayers answered. God doesn't answer my prayers. I don't even pray anymore. Amen? First thing I do, I would check up on my love walk. Now, I'm telling you this, so some of you are desperate. You got to have an answer from heaven. You're fighting a battle here that the devil is very serious about things. You're going to have to resist the devil. You're going to have to stand firm, steadfast against the enemy in this last day you and I are living in. We need to be able to approach the throne of God and pray the prayer of faith. Come on now. And pray the prayer of faith and it work for us. Pray in the name of Jesus and see some things working. And you'll have to guard yourself in this area more than any other area in this arena is this love walk. And then what you have to do more than anything, you have to love God. You have to love Jesus. And by loving him, you keep his commandments. No need to try and love other people if you don't love Jesus real hard and strong. You have to love him. I tell people how to have a good marriage and not have any problems. You have to love Jesus more than you love who you're married to. If you love Jesus more than you love them, then you'll do everything you do to please him. He'll say, now, go in there and ask him to forgive you. I'm not going in there and ask him to forgive me. You blood. Them come in here and ask them to forgive me. They started it. I'm not doing it. You go on in there. Well, you'll do it because you love him. You submit yourself real easy to one another. Amen? Praise the Lord. Over in Mark chapter 11, I'll read this. The great healing, the faith chapter. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, have faith in God, verse 22. For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart what those things that he says will be done for him, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. He shall have whatever he says. Amen. Now that's pretty powerful. That's a prayer scripture, praying scripture. But he didn't say praying, he said saying. Well, when you're praying, you're saying. The same thing. Praying is saying. I've had people come up and say, will you pray for me? I said, I sure will. What for? And I said, will you pray for me that this? And I said, all right, and I'll just say it. Consider it done. That needs met in Jesus' name right now. Some people call me and say, will you pray? I'm going through this. And I'll say, I will. In Jesus' name, and I'll say it. That's done. That's praying. I'm not going to pray all night. Most of the time we're praying all night, trying to get faith, trying to believe what we're saying, trying to work ourselves up. No, I believe it. I said it. It'll happen. I say it. Whatsoever things you desire, you got to have a strong desire. Whatever thing you desire, when you pray, well, you got to pray. Then when you pray for what you desire, you got to believe. You believe what? What do you believe? You believe that you have it. I believe I have it. And don't doubt in my heart. Now, you can doubt in your head and not your heart. And believe and don't doubt in my heart that what I said will come to pass and I can have what I said. I can have what I said if I believe what I said. That's pretty strong. Now, next scripture, he says, and when you stand praying, forgive. In other words, make sure when you're praying and saying that you're walking in love. Make sure. Check your love walk. Make sure you're walking in love. And if you'll make sure you're walking in love, you forgive everybody that's done you wrong. You forgive everybody that's hurt you. You forgive everybody that's cheated you, lied against you. Lord, I forgive them. Now, there's nothing that'll hinder your prayer from coming to pass except if you got sin in your life. God wants to heal you. He wants to prosper you. He didn't bring you out of the miry clay and the mud hole to just you live a just average Christian life. He wants to bless you. He wants to make an example out of you. He wants all your goofy friends to see you and say, my goodness, look what happened to them. Look how God turned them around. Look how God's prospered them. They used to run around with us and live in the same old low state we were in. But look what's happened to them. You know, there's something about people who are living in sin. They want you there with them because they feel better about theirself. They feel better about theirself if you're down in the mud hole with them. But if you're living up here, you know, they don't have any alternative except to ignore you or come up here. You can win them all to the Lord. If they'll listen, amen, thank God for Jesus. Thank God I have the ability to have what I pray about. I resist the devil with my love walk. I submit myself to God, amen. I don't have any pride. Pride, anything where pride is, that's not love. That's self-love. And I resist that. And you go through life, God blessing you. Let the devil come back. He'll come back. I don't care what he'll come back. He'll come back to his house. He calls your body his house. Because he used to live in it, used to control it. And he said, it's empty, boys, come on. And he goes back and gets seven more demons. 7 more demons. I've seen it happen. A friend of mine was, just met him. I brought him back to the Lord. I met him after I'd been born again for a pretty good while. He got saved in one of the revivals that they had over in Burnsville, in one of the churches. He got born again. I heard about it. And his daddy left him over $1 million. And plus a lot of land and things he could sell. And he was riding high on the hog, living high on the hog. You know what that means. Him living good. So I went over and saw him, and I said, "Now, why don't you come to church with me?" And he had a Corvette, bought him a Corvette, had a cute little old girlfriend, an Indian girl from over in Cherokee, wilder than a wildcat. And had them, and I said, "Now listen, why don't you come to church with me and go to church with me, and I'll come over and get you." So I went over and got him and his girlfriend, and brought him to church with him, and we went and ate, and Kathy and them. And I said, "Now listen, you got to get rid of that girl. She gets saved or you kick her butt out of here. Don't hang around her. You won't make it. Now you gotta follow the Lord. Now you gotta get in the Word." I did everything I could. Now I said, "I'll come back and get you again. We'll go to church some more and get him in the Word." I said, "I gotta get him in the Word." He's about 6'4", strong, muscular, you know, had it all. Tough. Wasn't afraid of any man. He could whip him, you know. I was the only one who could whip him. And I know you how. Is a secret. He could whip me in a fair fight, but you know, of course, he never was mad at me. I'd get him where he didn't want to be got, and I'd whip him. But I said, "Now you got to go to church, and you got to get in the Word." "Yeah, okay, yeah." We talk about the Lord and all that. Well, a couple times, you know, get a hold of, couldn't find him. Then hear for him for years. He called me one Sunday morning on my way to church. He said, "I'm up here in a motel room here in Asheville. I don't have enough money to get home. Will you come and give me some money to get me a cab home?" Sure. I went up there and I couldn't believe it. Half a man. Leg gone. Couldn't walk. Hollow-eyed. Lost all of his money. Had no money. Didn't have anything. Now, when he got saved, you know, he was just, you know, young man, you know, sinning and enjoying it. Sin has pleasure. And he got saved. But he didn't follow the Lord long, and he went back. 7 demons, worse than the first, came into him. I come and got him. Well, I'd give him some money. I asked him, I said, "How much money you got?" He drew a Social Security check, and all of it went to the little old, I guess you call it a nursing home. They got all of his money to let him stay there. He got $50 a month. All the money he had in his life was $50 a month. He died over there in a little old room at the far end of the nursing home. Nobody in there. The people didn't even go in to see him. They were going, the county was going to bury him, cremate him. Didn't even have enough money to bury him. And the funeral home director over in Burnville knew him and knew his family, knew his dad that was wealthy and really up. And this guy, one time, he was really into politics. He could have been a political leader because they wanted him to run some things in politics. And, and he would have got elected. He could have went all the way to Raleigh. There's no doubt about it. Very influential. Came from an influential family. And the guy out there at the funeral home said, "No, I'll come get him, bury him beside his dad and mom." And I said, I'll give you some money. And I helped bury him. Didn't even have enough money to bury him. I know at one time he had $1 million cash at one time, plus all the land and the resources and the houses. He ran through every bit of it. The cute little Indian girl didn't stay around long. Your money goes, they go. All his friends went. Diabetes, took off his legs, had to drag himself around. I said, you can't go back. You have to come with me to church, and I got to get the word in you, and you got to stay full. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. Went back. And did the devil ever oblige him? Died a pauper. $50 a month. He said, "Will you buy me a pack of cigarettes? Will you buy me a Reese cup?" "Yeah, I'll buy you a Reese cup. I'll get you a pack of cigarettes." Me and Mike Harris would go over there and see him, and Mike would laugh. He had diabetes. Said, "You know, he shouldn't have had Reese cups and cigarettes. Mountain Dew is what he wanted." He just had a few weeks to live. What did it matter? Now, that's so pitiful. Red is 50-something year old and he died. 52. You think the devil plays with you? You're young, full of it, think I can handle it. You're born again, you better stay on that road. You better stay on that road. You better listen to the warning I give you. He will kill you. Amen? That's a good, edifying message. Stand up with me. I have to tell you these things. I've lived long enough to see some things. I've lived long enough to see this happen. When I was a kid, I've watched guys. The Bible says, "Honor your father and mother, for this is a commandment with promise. And if you'll do this, you'll live long." I've saw guys who dishonored their mothers and daddies, treated them with disrespect, treated them awful, and never make it to 50 years old. I've seen that happen more than once. You live long, you can see the word work. Seen it happen. I saw two boys who so dishonored their parents, so abused their parents, whatever. Both of them died. One died in his 20s. The other died at 32. Both of them were gunshot wounds. Because it goes straight back to dishonoring the way they treated their parents. You think the Bible is not true? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, you said that we need to fear, have regard, respect, reverence your word. It's true, Lord. It works. But if we'll stay in the safety of your word, stay close to you and stay full, we have no problem. No matter what the devil throws at us, we can resist it. We'll get up. If he knocks us down, we can get up. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver us from every single one of them. We stay full of the word, full of love, walking in love and enjoy life and live a long, full life." Let us all take heed, Lord. You said over and over, take heed to ourselves. Father, we thank you for helping us. Thank you for showing us your righteous way. Bless the people. Lord, we speak healing. We speak prosperity. We speak favor and blessings on them. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Miss Penny.